This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. The acrimony in Montpelier has been clear for weeks now as Governor Phil Scott stuck to his promise not to sign the budget passed by lawmakers. Instead, he has called them back to a special session to resolve the budget impasse. At the heart of that impasse is the governor's pledge to keep property taxes flat this year. Voters approved school budgets that would result in a property tax increase, and the governor has called for using millions of dollars in so-called one-time funding to maintain the status quo. Lawmakers don't like that idea. They overwhelmingly passed a budget that rejects the governor's approach, but the governor is not going to sign their budget. And so here we are at the end of May with no sense of an answer or agreement coming anytime soon. VPR's Capitol reporter Peter Hirschfeld joins us now to talk about what happened in the special session yesterday and what the possibilities are for actually ending this standoff maybe next week. Hi, Pete. Nice to talk with you.
Thank you for having me on, Jane.
So what happened in the special session yesterday?
Not a whole lot. I would call it more political theater than productive policy substance. What you saw was the House and Senate gavel in to officially begin this special session. It was a little bit awkward, frankly. People are trying to feel it out. They don't really know where this is headed. The floor sessions were very brief and followed by a presentation by top administration officials. We're talking about Finance Commissioner Adam Gresham, Tax Commissioner Kai Samson, and Acting Education Secretary Heather Boushey. They presented the governor's proposal to both Democratic and Republican lawmakers. They tried to explain to them what a fine and wonderful idea it is, but it really laid bare the extent of the divide right now between these two parties. And it's not just that they disagree over these issues. There's just real palpable tension between the two sides. You can see it in their facial expressions. You can see it in their body language. And so if this special session was called to try to create some space for people to begin coming together, I don't think it has had its intended effect thus far.
That's not why they're not in today, though. It's not a cooling off period that they need until Tuesday.
Memorial Day weekend, Jane. People had plans. A lot of people are headed out of town. And, you know, the lawmakers didn't get to decide when they were going to come back. That right fell to Governor Phil Scott. He decided Wednesday. They made it clear that's probably not the date they would have chosen. And they said, we'll come back. We'll do our duty. But we will gavel out. And they're planning to come back next Wednesday at this point.
So is there going to be any behind the scenes work between now and Wednesday, even though, you know, barbecues are important? So is the budget.
You know, it's funny. You would just assume that there would have to be, right? That we find ourselves 5 weeks now from the expiration of the current fiscal year. If they don't have this thing figured out by then, terrible things begin to happen. You're staring down at the jaws of a government shutdown. But Mitzi Johnson and Tim Ashe, the House Speaker and Senate President, say they are not going to engage in closed-door negotiations with the governor. They're not going to be talking offline with his team about possible resolutions. They went down that road with the Scott administration last year, and they say they got burned. They felt like the governor took their concessions, moved the goalpost, really extracted more from them than they were comfortable giving away, and that they did not come to the bargaining table in good faith. They say they want the public to see precisely how this administration goes about the negotiating process. And they say in that spirit, everything that happens, all the negotiations that occur will be done in open legislative session, which certainly logistically hampers things, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not a conventional approach to resolving these kinds of issues.
Pete, you mentioned that yesterday the governor's administration presented the governor's plan. We've seen his plan before. Was there anything new that maybe moved slightly closer to a compromise with the legislature in the administration's plan?
No, nothing of real substance. They just sort of reiterated why they think their plan is a good idea. Of course, you mentioned the linchpin of that plan, which is let's use $34 million in one-time money this year to make sure we don't have an increase in statewide property tax rates. They also have a suite of what they call cost-cutting mechanisms they want to implement. They say that these could save in the range of $300 to $400 million over the next 5 years. These are special education reforms, staffing reduction reforms. Also, they're calling for a statewide health benefit. There are elements of that plan that lawmakers are open to, and there's definitely places where they can meet each other in the middle, I think. But as to this sort of threshold issue of whether or not to use the one-time money to buy down property tax rates, we do not see them getting any closer on that.
Yeah, lawmakers have not said, oh, okay, sure, we'll do it this the one time. We'll use your one-time funds and, you know, we'll figure it out next year. So given that, what's going to happen next week? Not that you know, Pete, but if there's no room for compromise, what's the point of a special session?
Well, because they have to figure this out, right? We don't know how they're going to figure it out yet.
Veto. And then they come back and override.
But they have to. That's one concept that's being thrown out there. You look at the House Republican Minority Caucus. They have 53 members. Now, presumably, that's an ironclad backstop for Phil Scott. They're going to sustain whatever veto he issues when it comes to these budget and tax bills. There are some people in the House and the Senate that are thinking, look, if we can just peel off 6, 7, 8 of these Republicans, give them something they can't say no to in the next iteration of our state budget proposal, then we can pass something that's pretty similar to what we passed the first time around, send it to the governor knowing he's going to veto it, but then have the votes in the House that we need to override that veto. That theory is not really turning out to be too realistic in practice, so far at least, in the sense at this point is that it's going to be tough to crumble that Republican bloc in the way that you'd need to in order to take that route. So I think we're headed toward a display of brinksmanship that people in this state are really unaccustomed to in terms of seeing in their state government. And there's a scenario where a very real scenario, I think, where lawmakers go a little bit toward the governor's position. Right now, statewide tax rates under the legislature's budget would go up 2 cents for residential homeowners, 5 cents for non-residential homeowners. These are second homeowners and businesses. Maybe they buy down that non-residential rate all the way down to zero. Say, we've met you more than halfway, Governor. Most people in this state will not see an increase in their statewide property tax rates. We feel this is responsible. We feel it's measured. We feel it shows a good faith effort to collaborate and cooperate with you, and put the onus on him to veto yet another budget and try to make it look like it's the governor's fault and a function of his intransigence that Vermonters are faced with the prospect of a government shutdown.
Do you think that is a possibility that we will hit a government shutdown in just a matter of weeks? And then what would happen here in Vermont?
I think it is a possibility. I mean, it's a possibility that's really hard to wrap your brain around given the severity of the consequences that would accompany a government shutdown. I mean, not only do you have a suspension of programs and services that a good portion of the people in this state rely on. Also, people that are some of the most needy and vulnerable in this state rely on. But you also have longer-term potential fiscal consequences in the form of credit downgrade. State Treasurer Beth Pierce wrote a letter to both Governor Scott and Democratic leadership saying, look, this is not a road you want to go down. We've seen other states, as a result of government shutdowns, have their credit ratings decline. That makes it more expensive for us to borrow money. It expands the size of our debt obligations in the future. And so, you know, sometimes you think it would be so severe if that happened that there's no way they could let it happen. But then you look at the scene that played out yesterday and think, man, how are they going to get there?
In the meantime, are legislators actually working on other things that didn't pass during this session and hoping that whatever happens with the budget, there's a little extra time to do some more work?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you've got these sort of micro constituencies in the House and Senate that care very much about things that don't make headlines. There's an effort underway right now, for instance, to salvage a provision that dealt with ethnic studies in public schools in Vermont. And it would set up a commission to go around the state, identify shortcomings in existing curriculum, and come up with a recommendation to the State Board of Education for how to rectify those shortcomings and get some more comprehensive ethnic studies curriculum in schools. And for certain people in the State House right now, that's their number one thing, right? It's the leadership that's handling the budget issues. So certainly there are a half dozen or so bills that people will be trying to move.
That's Peter Hirschfeld. Pete, thanks for sharing your expertise with us. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Jane.
You can follow all of Pete's reporting at vpr.net, and you can listen to all of the floor debates when the legislature is in special session next week. Our live streams are also at vpr.net.